In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, a week or so ago, we heard the inaugural address of the 45th President of the United States. In that inaugural address, the President told the country what sort of president he wanted to be. He told them about the values and the principles that he wanted to uphold for the nation. And he talked about the blessings and the benefits that he hoped would come to the United States. The Sermon on the Mount is somewhat like an inaugural address, or like an edict or a public announcement that Jesus gave at the beginning of his public ministry. In the immediate context of Luke chapter 6, Jesus had just finished calling his 12 apostles after praying with them upon the mountain. And after he came down from the mountain, he is greeted by a great multitude of people. To this crowd, Jesus gave, if you will, his inaugural address, an edictum in Latin, not unlike what a Roman magistrate would give to the people as he told them how he would provide remedies for the republic. And although there are some similarities between an inaugural address or a Roman edict and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does not speak as a president. He does not speak as a politician or as a magistrate. Jesus speaks as the Christ. And his words show us the kind of Christ that he will be. This inaugural address, or this edict by Jesus, is his epiphany. That is the manifestation that shows us that he is the Christ. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount shows us, first of all, that he is the Creator. He speaks the Beatitudes. He speaks blessing. Jesus shows that he's the Christ and the Creator by speaking blessing. In Genesis 1:28, the text says, "And God blessed them." You see, among the very first words that God spoke to his people, the very first words he spoke to Adam and Eve, were words of blessing, were words of promise. And you see, Jesus echoes the very first words that he gave to his people in the Beatitudes. He speaks words of blessing as he begins his public ministry. Now, we of course know what else happened in Genesis. We know that the people fell into sin, that they were cursed, that the Lord's words were distorted by Satan. Yet the Lord God left a promise of one who would come to deliver, who is Jesus. Now, if you turn to the very last chapter of the scriptures, the very last book, the book of Revelation, you encounter blessing again. You see, Jesus begins the scriptures with blessing, and he ends it with blessing. Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Revelation 16, "Blessed is the one who stays awake." Revelation 22:7, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this book." With the Beatitudes, Jesus' edict of his public ministry, he shows himself to be the Creator not only of the heavens and the earth, but of the new heavens and the earth. And the Lord begins his ministry in this world with blessing. So at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, at his Beatitudes, at his words of blessing for us, he speaks to those of us who are caught between the beginning of the world and creation and its consummation when he returns in glory. He speaks words of blessing for us here now on earth. These words of blessing show the same characteristic that God has of wanting his people to be blessed. The Beatitudes help us see something that is implicit both in his blessing at creation and his blessing in return. You see, the Lord Jesus blesses those who have nothing. To be blessed by Jesus means that you are in a position where you can only be given to. You think of the creation of the world. He creates out of nothing. He blesses people who have nothing. He gives them all that they need. Blessed are the poor, the destitute, the unworthy. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you on account of the Son of Man. The people that Jesus gives blessing to are people who have nothing. They are people who can only be filled with blessing from Jesus. On the other hand, Jesus also speaks the woes. The woes are the counterpoint to the blessing. If you are rich, that is the opposite of being destitute and poor. You already have your reward. You are so rich that you not only don't need, but you can't be filled with the blessing of Jesus. Jesus pronounces woe if you are full and satisfied, because you cannot be filled with his word. Jesus cannot bless the person who is full. If you are laughing and people are speaking well of you, Jesus cannot bless you because you are not empty. These woes are the counterpoint of the people who are in need, who need to be blessed. Now, Jesus certainly is not saying to you that you will have no enjoyment in this life, that you will have no pleasure, that you can't have a wedding celebration or go out for dinner. This is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the things in your life that stop you from receiving his blessings, be it food, praise, honor, glory, whatever this life has to offer you. His sermon shows that to be blessed, you have to be empty so you can be filled. And if you are so full that you are completely satisfied, then he has no blessing for you because you cannot be filled. Jesus is describing the life of every one of us here who live between the creation of the world and his return in glory. What fills your life that prevents you from being full of the blessing of Christ? Each one of us has something, maybe multiple things, that fill us so we cannot be filled with the blessings that Christ would bestow. And you see, this is why the daily life of the Christian is one of repentance and forgiveness. We confess our sin. We repent of the things that fill us and prevent us from being filled with the blessing of Christ. And although we may feel poor at times, maybe you can't buy the car that you want or the other things that you're hoping to get, your new iPad or computer or house, we really do not want to regard ourselves as being destitute. That is, we do not want to think of ourselves as having no worth in us, nothing that God would find worthy. We would like to imagine that there's something in us that makes us worthy before God. Yet to be destitute or poor is to have nothing within you, nothing that is of worth before the Lord. And you see, this is why synergism is rampant in the church. This is why works righteousness is rampant. All of us want to find something within us. Yet Jesus blesses and gives the kingdom of God to those who have nothing in themselves before God. As Martin Luther said on his deathbed, "We are beggars. This is true." Our Creator, Lord Jesus, came to show that he is the Christ, the anointed one who was destitute and worthless and cursed before his Father in heaven. Jesus Christ became hungry for us. Jesus Christ wept for us. He was hated by the world for us. Jesus bore all of the woes that he pronounced when he suffered and he died on the cross. He rose from the dead so that we can receive his blessing. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. And now he sits at the right hand of God, bestowing his blessing to us. He fills us who are empty, so that we will be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. Go in peace, for your Lord has blessed you. Amen.